If you listened to the services last Sunday, you were blessed tremendously, of course. And if you heard the message in relationship to taming the tongue, if that has given you any particular burden or test, please don't share that news with anyone tonight. Just keep it to yourself. Every time I've studied a particular subject over the years, normally I'm tested on that particular subject. If I'm dealing with the subject of gossiping, or if I'm dealing with the subject of tongues, speaking in tongues, don't have any trouble there. Some of you are really listening. Or if I'm dealing with taming the tongue, then I'm sure that you realize that there can come some difficulties in that area. Tonight we're going to deal again with that subject, taming the tongue. I have discovered that there are some words that I've used in the past that I want to give again tonight. And I will do that in a few moments in relationship to what we're to do in relationship to being restored to a right relationship with Jesus Christ. And we use the word change of mind, repent. Different words are used. We'll be dealing with that in a few moments. On the screen now you see John 17:14. Jesus said, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. John 17:14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. John 17:14. Colossians 4:6. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Colossians 4:6. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Colossians 4:6. Ephesians 2:10. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to James 4. Verse 11. James 4:11. We see that on the screen tonight, James 4:11, the A part of the verse, which says, speak not evil one of another, and then my brothers. I've divided this out where you could see it. Speak not evil one of another, brothers. James 4:11a. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study this evening. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity which is ours again tonight to realize how important it is for us to properly use words to bring honor and glory to your name. We realize that our Heavenly Father is interested in our words. We realize that the Scripture teaches us that every one of us as believers have the responsibility of using the tongue that you've given us to bring honor and glory to your name. We thank you for your blessings. We pray that you will guide us in these moments of study tonight, that we will be able to take these wonderful verses of Scripture and utilize them and make effort in our lives to bring glory and honor to your name as we speak from day to day in relationship to those things which are eternal. We pray and thank you for your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. On the screen, I'm putting out here for you to see, God is interested in our words. Using James chapter 4, verse 11. In every believer, there is something of the saint and something of the sinner. Something of the hero and something of the villain. When you come to the book of James, James has the conviction that nowhere is this revealed more than in the use of our tongues. It is said, but so often the same mouth that blesses is the same mouth that slanders, curses, maligns, hurts, criticizes, gossips, and is brutal. This should be as unnatural as a stream gushing both fresh and salt water, or a bush bearing opposite kinds of fruit. What is interesting is that people can speak with perfect courtesy to strangers and then snap with ungraciousness and irritability to the nearest loved ones. They can preach love and gentleness and yet be impatient and unloving at home and with the family. Men have taught a Bible class with piety on Sunday and then cursed a crew of workmen on Monday. It has not been unknown for women to speak with sweet and graciousness at the church meetings and then go into the community to murder someone's reputation with a malicious, gossiping tongue. John Bunyan, in Pilgrim's Progress, tells us of Talkative and describes him as a saint abroad and a devil at home. I thought this was very interesting. John Bunyan, in Pilgrim's Progress, tells us of Talkative and describes him as a saint abroad and a devil at home. When you go into the Bible, you will discover that David compares a slandering tongue to three fatal weapons. One is a razor, which is extremely sharp. Two is a sword that wounds. And three, an arrow, not limited by distance. One of the great words in the Word of God that we need to recognize, and I've chosen to take this out of my stash of notes and to bring it to present here this evening, and that is the Greek word for repent. Most of you have heard this word and you recognize it and will when I put it on the screen. The noun for repent is metanoia. On the screen, you now see that word. We're going to spend a few moments to look at this. The Greek word is metanoia, metanoia, the noun. Most of us have learned in the past that the word for nous is the word for mine. We have a word here used in the Greek noun, which means a change of the mind. Taking that same word and finding it in the Greek verb, you will see that it is the Greek verb metanoeo. The last part of that word is the verb, which shows that it is an action word. So we have the word repent, a change of mind, and then the verb, which emphasizes how that takes place. The word actually means to be renewed in mind. That's the reason why when you go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, the scripture says there, and be restored, renewed in the spirit of your mind. What I'd like for us to do is to allow this to take place in our thinking this evening. Be restored, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. What this does is that it presents the breathing of the mind. Every born-again believer has the responsibility on a daily basis, all of us, of breathing properly from a spiritual standpoint. So this word actually means to be renewed, restored, in the spirit of the mind. Breathing of the mind. Maybe you've thought about this, maybe you haven't, but for us to be able to properly breathe spiritually, there has to be a removal of some things. When I thought about this, I typed in capital letters, there needs to be the removal of the barnacles of life. We don't hear about barnacles all that much. So let's define for a few moments the word barnacle. There has to be the removal of the barnacles for the believer to properly breathe spiritually. To define the word barnacle or barnacles, another word that would describe that is crustaceans, which means a stalked species which cling to the ship bottoms and floating timber. I'm giving you time now to let your mind think about this for a little bit. A crustaceans plural, should be defined as a stalked species which cling to the ship's bottoms and floating timber. It could also be described as a clinger or a parasite. When you think in terms of this clinger or parasite, it could be described as this parasite inserting its fangs like a tick and sucking life's strength. Also, when I think in terms of this parasite, with its fangs like a tick, sucking life's strength, leaving outer marks, and leaving inner weakness. As I think in terms of this, I think in terms of ships upon which we have traveled. When I think in terms of a clinger, a parasite, inserting fangs like a tick, sucking life's strength, leaving outer marks and inner weakness. As I thought about this, it came to my mind that there are many satanic parasites, clingers, placing their fangs, leaving their marks, and removing spiritual strength. I'm allowing you to take a few moments to think with me about something that we normally don't spend time considering. There are many satanic parasites. We could classify these as clingers. Satanic parasites, placing their fangs into our lives, leaving their marks, and in doing so, removing from us spiritual strengths. There's something that you and I know, and that is that when we repent We have a change of mind. We can be restored to a right relationship to Jesus Christ. And therefore, we can conclude that restoration to fellowship knocks off the barnacles, removes the satanic parasites, and allows strength to be replaced. One of the greatest things for you and me to be able to realize in life is that God has given us the means by which we can have a fruitful, victorious, triumphant life. But we're not going to have that kind of life as long as we do not live within the framework of God's design for us, which is finding ourselves on a daily basis, moment by moment, in the divine power sphere, which we call the system of love. All of us are aware of the fact that God has given to us the ability to have joy and peace, and we have many, many magnificent subjects in the Word of God that will help us to be able to see from a vertical divine viewpoint. Many of these subjects fall into the category of soteriology. When I use the word soteriology, I'm emphasizing those subjects related to our salvation. We call this salvation doctrines, concepts of soteriology. One of those would be propitiation. Propitiation means the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross that satisfied the righteous claim of God against fallen humanity. I feel like it's time for us to pause for a few moments and see how fantastic that statement is. Propitiation. The word actually means satisfaction. When I think in terms of that, I see Jesus Christ dying on the cross for your sins and mine. I see the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our wonderful Lord and Savior. I see how magnificent it is to see our Savior coming forth out of the grave, triumphant and victorious over sin, the grave, death, and hell, and ascending to sit at the Father's right hand. When I hear the Heavenly Father say to resurrected humanity, "Sit thou at my right hand," I could go into that in detail, but I'm only emphasizing the fact that when our Heavenly Father said that, in essence, what He was saying to the resurrected Christ, "I'm propitiated, I'm satisfied for everything that you've done." The sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross satisfied the righteous claim of God against fallen humanity. What we're able to see tonight is how powerful the word repent is. We're able to see how powerful it is to see how great and wonderful it is to be restored to a right relationship to Jesus Christ, the subject of restoration to fellowship. The subject of propitiation, one of the doctrines of soteriology, is a tremendous and magnificent subject indeed. Another subject which you see on the screen, the concept of soteriology, is the subject of redemption. The word redemption means that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for sin and redeemed us from the slave market. These are brief definitions for each one of these major subjects that I wanted us to be able to see. We've seen the word propitiation, satisfaction. We've seen the word redemption, satisfaction. Jesus Christ being willing to pay the penalty for sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we by means of what he has done have ourselves in proper relationship to him. The next word that you see on the screen is the word, a magnificent word of soteriology, reconciliation. Jesus Christ broke down the barrier between God and man. These are wonderful subjects in relationship to soteriology. We're reminded tonight of the fact that you and I have the responsibility of seeing what the Scripture says of how we're to use our tongue. And I'm going to share with you now a series of verses. I would encourage you to take these verses down. We're talking about the importance of utilizing all of these magnificent subjects and realizing how every day we live, God has given us two eyes, two ears, one tongue, and we have the responsibility of having a tongue that is tamed. When I go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 21, verse 23, I'll put it on the screen for you to see. Proverbs 21, 23 says, "Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble." I thought that was an interesting passage. It should be shared with all of us, and we should write it and remember it. Proverbs 21, 23, "Whosoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble." Proverbs 21, 23. In recent days, we've looked at Ephesians 4:29. I remind you of that passage again. "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as it fits the good, the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Let's look at it again, Ephesians 4:29. "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." The reason I'm going slowly is I want you to be able to have time to write these verses, because these are powerful verses indeed. Proverbs 15:1. "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Proverbs 15:1. Proverbs 12:18. "There's one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." I repeat Proverbs 12:18. "There's one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." James chapter 3. We'll not read all of these verses. We'll see some. Verses 2 and following. "For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a complete whole individual, able also to bridle the whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also, though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and is set on fire by hell. When I go to Psalm 34:13, here's what I read. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. I repeat, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Psalm 141 verse 3. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Psalm 141 verse 3. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Psalm 141, 3. James 1:26. If anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. I feel like all of you should be taking these verses down. Proverbs 17:28. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. Proverbs 17:28, even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he's deemed intelligent. Proverbs 17:28. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 10. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. 1 Peter 3:10. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Proverbs 18:21. Proverbs 15:4. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Proverbs 15:4. Matthew chapter 12, 33 to 37. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words, you will be justified. And by your words, you will be condemned. James chapter 3 verse 10. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Matthew chapter 15 verse 11. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a person. Matthew 15:11. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. When words are many, transgression is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Proverbs 10, 19. Titus chapter 3, verse 2. To speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, to show perfect courtesy toward all people. Psalm 52, verse 2. Your tongue plots destruction like a sharp razor, you worker of deceit. Psalm 52, 2. James chapter 3. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a complete perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large, they are driven by strong winds. They are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. Proverbs 17:9. Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. Proverbs 17:9. Psalm 37:30. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. Psalm 37:30. Proverbs 26:20. For lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. I repeat Proverbs 26:20. For lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. Proverbs 26:20. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 7. A time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, a time to speak. Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. When I go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, I read, stop giving place to the devil. I spend just a few more seconds to let you see that the Apostle Paul is telling the Ephesian believers and telling us here tonight about our responsibility of the utilization of words. When I look at this word stop, I notice how the word is used in the original language. It's a verb. It's an imperative verb. It's a command. It's a present tense verb, which means continuous action. It's an active voice, which means the subject is responsible for producing the action of the verb. And the imperative mood is the mood of reality, emphasizing the importance of a command. It's a command of reality. Stop giving place to satanic influence. Present active imperative, second person plural of didyme, which is the word for give. All of us here tonight are aware of the fact that God gives us the ability to use words. Our words can be words of kindness, graciousness, or there can be words of bitterness and rudeness. There can be words of comfort and encouragement, or there can be words that are detrimental. The message that was given last Sunday brought about an email today to me, not revealing anything other than to tell you that one person revealed to me that when they were a little child, the influence upon their life at that time was one, there was not words of encouragement, not words of gentleness and kindness. They would bring about a desire to do the things that would be right. These were words that were detrimental. This individual was told that you will never amount to anything. All you can do as a little child is look at pictures. And for 10 years, that individual remembered those words of discouragement. And then someone pulled that person aside to inform them that they had the ability to move forward in life and accomplish things in life. And that drastically changed the attitude of that individual. That's all I can tell you, but I can tell you, I realize that you and I have to be very careful with the utilization of our words. Parents, teachers, preachers, all of us have responsibility to use the opportunities which we have to use God-given words to be words of encouragement and challenge and words of help and not words that are detrimental. These words can be clinging parasites which can mess up a life of an individual. And therefore, we need to hear this tonight and think about the words that we use on a daily basis. We're responsible to God for every word that proceeds from our lips. Stop giving place to the devil. May we pray together, please. Tonight, Father, we are made aware of the fact that words are means of communication. We realize that the Scripture says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We've been made aware of the fact again that a word is a means of communication. Jesus Christ is the Word, a means of communication. That magnificent truth of God's love for mankind and what Jesus Christ has provided for us and all that He's done and is doing. We thank you again and again that we're privileged to take the word and share the word with others. We thank you over and over again tonight for salvation through Jesus Christ. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Jesus is the Word. He's the life. He's the way, that only the way that takes individuals, all of us, into that magnificent home of eternal life, heaven. Jesus Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except by me. We thank you for that word. We thank you for the word. We pray that in these moments, as we come to the close of this service, if there's someone who's never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, that they would realize that their greatest need is to believe, to accept Jesus Christ personally as their own personal Lord and Savior. We know that the Scripture is so vivid and so plain when it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank you so much for what you have done and are doing for us. Help us to be determined on a daily basis to be careful as we utilize words. And we thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you're dismissed.